Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
The Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. While you're turning there, I want to remind you that our church family meeting, which is like a town hall style meeting, we're going to communicate a lot of the transitions and changes that have been going on, communicate a lot about what happened 2011 and where we're at. That's on the 22nd at 3 o'clock here in the auditorium. January 22nd, right here in the auditorium, we're going to be talking about, isn't that next Sunday? Yeah, okay. I do everything by dates. But next Sunday, we're going to be here talking about, just talk about our finances, church finances. We're going to be talking about children's ministry, changes and things that have happened in our church, and we have some people we want to honor and thank for their work. And anyway, I encourage you to be out here. We're going to be talking about what we feel God's focusing us to work on in the next season, and we're excited about it. We're really excited about what the Lord's doing. So if you believe this is your church and you're a member here and you want to be building here, we're encouraging you to make it out 3 o'clock next week. Amen. Also, if you're a guest, we want to welcome you after the service to our guest central, which happens right outside these doors. You'll see a sign in our prayer room. And we just want to welcome you to our church. We have some more information there about who we are and how we operate. Some of our pastoral leaders and care leaders will be in there and have an opportunity to welcome you and get to know you a little bit. Amen? Amen. So Philippians chapter 1. Talking about trusting the Holy Spirit's work in others. Last week we were talking about we serve a God of perfect timing. We serve a God who has absolutely perfect timing, and that trust, that patience is truly the expression of trust. I want you to just think about that a little bit, that patience, peace, is the expression of trust. The more we trust, the more we have peace. The less we trust, the more we become anxious and overwhelmed by our circumstances. But I want to just focus in on the trust we need to have in the Holy Spirit's work in other people. Philippians 1:3, this is the New Living Translation. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. I always pray for you, and I make my request with a heart full of joy, because you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back again. It is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a very special place in my heart. We have shared together the blessings of God, both when I was in prison and when I was out defending the truth and telling others the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with a tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love for each other will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in your knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until Christ returns. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, say me, is a good work he began inside of you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back again. In the New King James, or NIV, actually, it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He will carry that on until that final day. Father, let's pray, church. Father, we seek your face today. God, as we come into your word and we fellowship with you and your word, we believe that you entrusted this these passages, Lord, for us, God, throughout generation to generation, so that we could truly know more about who you are. Holy Spirit, we ask you and illuminate your word to us, God. Our spirits would come alive with who you are in us, God. Then you would just reveal yourself and your commitment to your inner work in each one of us. Lord, that none of us are left out of that inner work that you have going on across the entire globe in each one of us. God, I thank you for that faithfulness that endures throughout generation and generation. You're so good to us. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Even as that song was just singing, I was just thinking, God, you're so, so good to me personally, to each one of us. God, we just exalt you for that. God, we pray that we'd walk away different today, filled and refreshed by your word and changed for this season, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Man, we serve a God that is trustworthy, church. He doesn't fail or drop the ball. We were watching football yesterday, and many of you guys know that I'm a little bit of a football fanatic. I might have a problem, all right? It's possible. I'm not going to admit that yet. I think I'll walk in denial a little bit. The fact that I have hope that the Seahawks will someday win a Super Bowl it communicates how deluded I might truly be and addicted to this sport that I might be. But, you know, I was watching good old Tim Tebow yesterday, and gosh, I love this guy. I really love the way he plays football. And, you know, he gets such a bad rap, but, man, his wide receivers failed him that day. I think his offensive coordinator failed him yesterday. He's a good football player. And, you know, he hit guys at least 5 times right in the hands in critical moments. They probably still would have lost, but he wouldn't have looked so bad, okay? But it all goes on him, right? But the pieces around him, they dropped the ball. Hit him right in the hands. These guys get paid millions of dollars to just catch a football. And he hits him in the hands, nobody around. They drop it. We didn't really want that thing. That's gold, man. You got to hang on to that thing. Pick it up. But you know, we don't serve a God who's got like wide receivers that get paid to try to do a good job. That try to keep their job. God is not a God that's trying to keep us believing that he's really God. He's not a God that's like trying to stay employed by his goodness and doing a good job and his performance. He is a good God who is absolutely faithful throughout generation to generation. He's a God who never drops the ball. He doesn't. And guess what? He wins every time. See, this is the thing they don't like about Tim Tebow, is he's weird. He throws the ball weird. You know? He's a monster. He runs people over. He's way faster and bigger, and he's got a way better attitude and commitment to excellence than virtually anybody around him, and that's electrifying and magnetic, and people have been watching that kid play football for years and years and years. Everywhere he goes, he packs stadiums because he's a winner. He just wins games however he can do it. He throws hand grenade football passes. It doesn't matter. That guy knows how to win, and they don't like it because he does it in ways that people don't like. It's not normal. He wins in ways that isn't normal. And you know, that is how our God is. He likes to win in ways that aren't normal. When he takes Gideon's army and he reduces it down to 300 men, that's not normal. He causes Samson to grow out his gigantic beard and hair and you know, defend Israel and bring Israel together. Kill 1,000 guys with a donkey's jawbone. That's weird. It's not normal. You know, we see Peter being escaping from a prison because an angel unlocks all the doors and there's no other way that he could ever get out. It's so crazy to Peter. He thinks he's in a dream till he gets out and he goes, wait a second, this really happened. I think I'm going to go home. And he goes home and there's everybody praying. for him. That's weird. That's not normal. It's crazy and weird that we have a God that is at work deep inside of every single one of us in this room, let alone every person in the whole world God is influencing. That's awesome. That's not normal. You know, and like I was talking about last week, he's a God of absolute perfect timing, even when it feels like he's way behind. He is on perfect time. I think about the movie Lord of the Rings, when Gandalf is coming into town and Frodo's sitting on the side of the, you know, deal. He's eating his apple, reading his book, right? Somebody gave this to me. I think I'm supposed to try to work it in my message somehow. So there it is. He's eating his apple. Good. And Gandalf comes by and he's like, Frodo's like, you're late.
And he goes, wizards are always arrive exactly the time that they intend to. I'm like, whatever.
I wish that worked at my job, right?
Well, computer analysts arrive at the exact time that they mean to.
You know, it's like, you're fired. All right. But God is like that. He's like Gandalf in only that way. All right. No other way. Don't make any more parallels, please. Yeah. Young people, he's not a wizard. All right, yes, we have that clear. All right. He shows up when he wants to. When not just wants to tease us, when it's the perfect time. Do you know he is at work inside of each one of us at the perfect time? That you can literally be in the perfect will of God for your life. Do you know that your suffering might just be the perfect will of God for you? Ouch. I'm not saying God is creating all of these sufferings. There's plenty to go around because we live in a broken world. And because he loves us so much and he desires the power of the free will at work in us. See, the free will gives us the choice to choose love. And that was what makes love valuable is with that. But along with that, God understood that in the power of the free will choice, that for love to be valuable, that it would come alongside with all of the brokenness and suffering. But God is so good that that didn't scare him. Because he's the God that never relents on his inner working in his people. And he's the God who knew when he gave Adam and Eve a free will in the garden, and he knew the tree sitting right in the middle of the garden, there's nothing guarding it like Dick and I talk about. He didn't put a bunch of thorns around the naked, you know, so the naked people couldn't get to the tree. They're naked. He could have just put thorn bushes all around that tree so they couldn't get to it and they could just see it. Be like, I'm not going in there. No, it was right there. They had to choose. Am I going to love God or not? Right? That's what makes it valuable. He knew in that moment that he would send his son so that he could complete this work, so that his power could live in us. His power could redeem us. His power could finish the work of his love relationship, the love story that he has with us. It's not so we can just go around and be powerful and look awesome, bodacious. It's because God wants an intimate love relationship with people, and it's worth it. And all that package of suffering that came alongside with the free will, which came alongside with the power of the choice to choose, which gives the expression of true love, came lots of suffering. And in that, God goes, I'm not scared of that. I'm not scared of your bitterness. I'm not scared of your fears. And I'm not scared of your sin. I'm the God that completes what he started. I finish everything I start. I never drop a ball. I always take everything from the beginning to the end. In fact, I see the beginning from the end. When he's in the garden, he saw the end. He knew it. He'd already done it. We were already more than conquerors in Christ when he made Adam and Eve and he planted them in the garden. We were already super victorious in him, Romans chapter 8, right? We're already at the end because he could see it from the end, because he is the beginning and the end. It was a finished work before he even began. Because that's how faithful God is. He wasn't wondering if he would actually follow through and get it done. He knew it would be done. He was committed to it, therefore it was. And he is making that same commitment to each one of us. And when we begin to trust that, we say, I trust God that you will be, that you will complete the good work. The good work that you started in me. You know, that word good is good in the physical and moral sense. It produces benefits. The words used of person, things, and acts, conditions, right? That it is actually a work that is happening. It's good, and it's designed for you as a person. Not all the things around us. But God has started a good work inside of you. For you. To benefit you. A gift for you. That's awesome to me. He made it and he started that work for the purpose of your life. Not just for him. To like serve him, be a robot for him. And so we've got to break out of this, that God just wants us to be robots. If he wanted us to be robots, he would have never given us a free will. To just be his little drones that just serve him, to worship him like, That's not what he made us for. He made us and created us so that we would experience something good, which is him. That's what's awesome about it. Man, I think about my life, and not all of it's good. My life journey, my life story, hasn't all been good. There's been a lot of hard stuff that's happened, a lot of suffering. And God has not been scared of that, a lot of hurt, a lot of abandonment and rejection that I've experienced in my life. That stinks. That's painful. When people die around us, that's painful. We experience loss. When we fail, we get embarrassed, we make mistakes. I mean, that's painful. That's real life. I've got my long laundry list of that stuff. And you know, God's not afraid of that. Even in the middle of all of that, he's such the powerful redeemer. He is so powerfully working from the beginning. He's working from the end in the beginning of my life. And he's working me toward that completed work, that good work that's happening inside of me to benefit me and to benefit the world around me. That's awesome. He's so faithful to it. You know, this word, being confident of this, that's the way it says in the NIV and the New King James. This word means to trust in, to have confidence in, to be persuaded. You know, to be full, to fully trust in this. I thought about different examples of when I really had to fully trust in something. And I used to work kind of high up in derricks in the oil field, and I've said things similar to this before, but that I used to strap all in to these harnesses. And I mean, when you're 50 plus feet up off of a metal floor with like pipes and stuff sticking out, you're on like a little tiny platform on the edge of it, and you got to lean out over that thing. You really need to trust in the equipment that you're hooked into. And I can remember I'd be hooking. I don't know if any of you guys have ever been up high and you've got like your fall protection. You're like hooking and I would totally hang off that stuff. I'd like drop while I'm like standing on the platforms to make sure that if I fell, this junk was going to hold on to me. And the more I would trust in that, the more I'd lean into my work and I could work harder and faster without thinking about it. And that's confidence. When you have confidence in your teammates, like you watch the difference between Tom Brady and Tim Tebow. Like Tom Brady throws passes to Gronkowski, this gigantic freak of nature tight end. He caught 3 touchdown passes and like 140 some yards yesterday. I was like, you're a freak. He stands next to these itty bitty guys and they look like tiny little, you know, Oompa Loompas, you know. And I mean, he makes these unbelievable catches, but I'm just thinking, I'm watching, there's people all over this monster. And Brady just tries back and he goes, boom. He chucks it right at him. Like, he's not even open. And he throws it this perfect spot to the one little spot that he could actually get it. And he trusts. He has total confidence in his people. Tim Tebow doesn't have confidence in his core, in his wide receivers. They draw the ball all the time. He's like, why am I going to throw it to you? I might as well run it. You know? But that's a great example of the difference between having confidence in the person you're working with. Look, Paul says, I am confident of this, that he, God, who began a good work in me, Paul, or me, Josh, or you say you, right? I'm confident, fully trusting in. Man, you can fully lean on this fact that he that began this good work happening inside of you will carry it on to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. That's awesome. That's a great promise. And you know, one of the things that I feel God is trying to challenge me in my life is to trust his work, the work of the Holy Spirit, in other people. That's an act of patience, isn't it? When you're with other people and you're working alongside them, or you have children, your co-workers, and they can just be hard and obstinate and just knuckleheads, or they're your boss or whatever, and they're just cranking on you, and they're unforgiving and whatever. Man, you can be confident that the God who started a good work in you, and the God that started a good work in the people around you, you know what? That he is going to complete that work. And I feel God challenging my heart that he is going to complete the work that he started in each one of us. He's going to complete the work that he started in this church. That's not really up to you and I to have to manage our hyper control in everybody, right? And sometimes I think, I might get afraid or lose that confidence that God's working it out in each one of us, right? He's truly working it out in your friend. He's working it out in your coworker, in the person sitting next to you in the pew. You know, he's at work in each one of our hearts right now, all the time. And he's such a powerful redeemer. He's taking all of your screwed up circumstances and all the stuff people are doing to you, or the consequences of your own decisions, right? He's using all of that stuff, and he's the great redeemer, and he's redeeming it all for that completed good work that he has committed himself to in your life. Isn't that awesome? You know what? Patience, peace, is the expression of trust. See, the more confident and trusting we are in the God of the universe, who is the beginning and the end, the more we're confident in that and in his work, the more we just rest. And say, God, what do you want me to do today? You know, Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. See, that's a relationship of trust. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. No, let's take our prayers and petitions and move them into a trusting relationship and put them on the person who created the entire universe and who has promised that he's going to finish that work. You know, most of my prayers are centered around people, not things, getting things. And I think this is a biblical thing to do. But I want my prayers to be centered around people. If we look at what Paul was praying for in verse 9, he says, first he expresses in verse 8 his passion and love for the people that he has been serving and working alongside with. He's like, man, we have just laid it out there for Jesus, and I have a confidence that he is finishing that work he started in you, even though I'm not with you right now. He says, I pray that your love for each other will overflow more and more. He's asking that God's love in each of their hearts. These are the things he wants to see completed in their life, right? That Christ, he knows Christ wants to complete, is committed to complete. That is, their love overflows. God, let your love overflow in each one of our hearts and lives. And that you will keep on growing in your knowledge and understanding. Man, I want that. God, let us grow in your knowledge and understanding. Man, we should be praying for each other, right? Not controlling each other and trying to make it happen. Boy, if you just know this, if you just get this in your thick skull, right? Man, God, will you just finish that work of love and that work of understanding, that work of wisdom and growth inside of them? For I want, verse 10, for I want you to understand what really matters. He's desperate that they'll understand what really matters, right? So that you may live pure and blameless lives until Christ returns. It's important for us to respond to the great inner working of Christ happening in us, but it first has to happen in our hearts, right? Paul understands that if they're going to walk in purity and walk, and in blameless lives before God, that they're first going to have that inner working igniting, that good work has to be growing up inside of them, that passion, that love, right? For that to work its way out to completion, you can't go from the outside in on all that stuff. It's got to come from that good work happening in us. May you also be filled with the fruit of your salvation. Come on, that's Jesus. That's the full promise. All of the work of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit expressing itself through us. Those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. You know, Paul knew a lot about this, and Barnabas knew a lot about this in their life. And just a quick example, in Acts 12, Barnabas and Paul take John Mark with them on their missionary journeys. And throughout that, they get sideways. They get mixed up. And you know, Paul and Barnabas in Acts 15, actually, they have such a big disagreement about how Mark failed them in the work that they separate over this. And Acts chapter 15, verse 36, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So he abandons them in the middle of their work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. You know, Barnabas was so committed to Paul. I mean, and he was so committed to John Mark. I think Barnabas really believed in the inner work of the Holy Spirit in John Mark. He's like, just because he blew it that one time doesn't mean I'm going to write him off. Doesn't mean I'm just going to cast him off. And Paul was like, I can't trust this dude. I have no confidence in God working in him. That's really what he's saying. I can't go to battle with this guy because I don't know if he's going to be there in the end. And that was based on what he did. But something changed throughout time. Over the life of John Mark and Barnabas' commitment to the inner working of the Holy Spirit in John Mark, we see Paul in the closing of his letter to the Colossians. He says, Aristarchus, who is in prison with me, sends you his greetings, and so does Mark, Barnabas' cousin. And as you were instructed before, make Mark welcome if he comes your way. Jesus, the one we call Justice, also sends his greetings. These are the only Jewish Christians among my co-workers. They are working with me here in the kingdom of God. What a comfort they have been to me. So all of a sudden we see Paul and Mark reunited towards the end of Paul's ministry. We also see in 2 Timothy 4, verse 9, he's saying in the closing remarks here again, he's saying, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me. Again, he has someone abandon him. Having loved his present world and has departed for Thessalonica, Titus for wherever, okay, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. This is an awesome story of redemption in relationship, and where Paul, something shifted in his heart, where he goes, I trust that inner work. And maybe, and I'm speculating, maybe it was watching God work in many people's lives, and specifically John Mark's life, seeing God work through his failure, and someone continue to be committed to him, and through that process he comes back, and he's now useful to him in the kingdom, and they reconcile their relationship. Come on, you know that if you were John Mark, and your two fathers in the Lord were arguing about how much of a derelict you are right in front of you or around you, you're probably going to be discouraged about that. And I'm sure that created some kind of rift between him and Paul, right? Tell me that wouldn't affect you. You're like, that guy thinks I'm a joker, right? I don't know how we're going to be able to work together. But somehow, they were able to reconcile their relationship. And in this, Paul has this revelation of the power and the inner working of Christ in us to completion. that God is the one bringing us to completion, even in the midst of our failures. Amen? Man, that produces peace and patience in us, right? In me, that produces a patience in Paul where he can live in prison and just trust that God is working out the thing he started in all of the churches and places where he ministered. He couldn't go to them and help them with anything. He could just write these letters and people could travel, you know, and be like a liaison between him and the other people and minister to him and also carry his work on. But he had to really trust, Paul had to trust that even though a great portion of his ministry was caught up in prison, that the Holy Spirit could work through that situation, allowing God to really do his inner work in everybody else, right? Man, that's a good God. That's the kind of God that's faithful that we can really trust. That in this city, in our church, in our nation, even when our nation is like, we can't even pick a candidate that we're like even excited about, right? To represent us as a nation, we're like, I don't know. Let's go pick that dude. I mean, who cares now, right? No, I care. I really do care. But it just gets discouraging sometimes. You're like, I don't know. It seems like they're all going to wreck it, right? You're like, could you just drive the beat up car instead of like the nice one? You know, you give your kids the keys to the car when they're 16. They're going to wreck it. True. It's just going to happen, man. And you don't want to give them the keys to your Beamer, do you? Yeah, your BMW or your, you don't give them the key. You don't want to give them the keys to your nice car. You're like, just go drive this beater. But that's not real trust, is it? Well, you're not fooling. Maybe it's wise, but I'm just saying you're not trusting them. But God gives us the keys to his BMW, man, the Cadillac. Man, the nicest thing he's got is his church, his people. That's his greatest valued treasure, man. That's us. And he gives us the keys, man, the ministry of reconciliation to love people and encourage them. He gives you and I the keys. Brand new believers. Filled with the Holy Spirit. The same power and inner working in you is working in them. And you're like, they're just going around freaking out on everybody. It's awesome. He gives the brand new keys, man. Here's my BMW. Have fun. Because he's got the best auto body shop in the universe. He can fix anything. Right? There's nothing he can't fix. There's no knucklehead he can't change. He can crack the hardest nut. Lots of times, the person who's the most obstinate and aggressive and messed up is the one that, man, is just about to come into the kingdom. And he is doing an awesome work in everybody around you. The people that are on their process to coming to know Christ and have that relationship with him, he is working in their life. And you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are carrying the fullness of the power of God. No matter how young in the Lord you are, no matter if you're 10, you're 50, you're 85, no matter how long you've been with Jesus, the same amount of Holy Spirit power dwells inside of you. And the same God who is bringing the work that he started in you to completion is at work in each one of us. Everywhere you go, you carry that. Man, we can trust that. We can trust that. We can be patient with one another. Man, let's allow our trust to increase so our expression of patience for one another and our situations can increase. Peace is the expression of trust. It really is the expression of trust. Amen? Amen? Come on, church, there are people in our world. They need to experience the peace of God. There's people in your life that need to experience the peace of God. That you have an intimate relationship with Jesus. They need to know that. They need to know that you trust in an unfailing God. In your circumstances when they're hard, they need to know the peace that passes all understanding. They need to know where your trust really lies. Like, I don't trust in my own understanding. God, I trust in your ways. Your ways are higher than my ways, right? I don't lean on my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge you. That's the way we need to live our lives when we're in the workplace, right, church? Right? Amen? Amen? Come on, will you stand with me? We'll just close in a song here.